First, maybe you've done some mountain climbing on a vacation to Colorado. Maybe you like to visit a local climbing gym here or there. Our next guest is a Wisconsin native who found herself living in a city surrounded by mountains, Santiago, Chile, and decided she wanted to be up there. Chelsea Berg grew up in Watertown and graduated from Marquette University. In January, she climbed to the top of Mount Aconcagua in Argentina. It's the tallest mountain outside of Asia. She writes about her travels and provides a guide to climbing Mount Aconcagua at findingthenorth.com. Chelsea, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, before we get to this mountain, I want to talk about how you got into mountain climbing. You grew up in a water town in Milwaukee, and Wisconsin is famous for a lot of things. Mountains isn't one of them. How did you get into mountain climbing?
Well, I would say that it's a family thing. I'm very, very, very close with my grandpa, and he loves the mountains. And my family in general, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, my parents, we're all very close. And so, you know, my grandpa loved the mountains, and then he passed it down to all of us. So we would take our summer vacations, you know, doing a road trip to California and camping, or when I was little, I would go to, you know, in the back of his truck, and we'd go to the mountains and camp for a week, and just always loved the mountains. So that was always instilled in my head since I was very, very little. So when I came to Chile and all of a sudden I had literally the Andes Mountains, which is the longest mountain range in the world, I believe, and, you know, full of humongous mountains, and I look at them all day, every day as I'm walking down the road, it was like a dream come true.
Now tell us about this mountain, Aconcagua.
Aconcagua is the tallest mountain outside of Asia, which obviously is outside of the Himalayas, which is the mountains of Everest and, you know, all of the big 8,000 meter plus mountains. So Aconcagua is the tallest mountain in the world outside of that mountain range. It is also one of the seven summits, which is a circuit of mountains comprised of the tallest mountains on every continent. So Aconcagua at 22,842 feet, is the tallest mountain in South America and the tallest mountain here in the Western Hemisphere.
Now, you set out to climb this. You actually put up a time-lapse video of packing. And I have a hard time packing for, you know, a three-day road trip, talking about how important it is to pack well but not too heavy to climb a mountain like this.
Oh God. Well, we prepared and we planned for months before leaving for Aconcagua. And literally the packing was very important, because the thing with Aconcagua is you're starting and you're climbing through a valley which starts at around 9,000 feet above sea level. So you've got heat and you've got, you know, a beating sun, but then really quickly you start gaining altitude. So you need clothes for, you know, the sun and during the day on those times. But then as you get up, on the day of the summit, we were at -20, -25 degrees plus wind chill. So it was absolutely freezing. And all of the nights were absolutely freezing. And the thing that's crazy about Aconcagua was it's known for being very, very diverse in its climate and very extreme. So it changes from a sunny day 1 minute. Like, for example, we were at camp 2. And it was sunny, and we were having ramen noodles at 5,000 meters. And then half an hour later, we were in the middle of a snowstorm, couldn't see anything more than 10 feet in front of us, and it was freezing. So packing for the mountain is so important, because it is, you need to have the perfect amount of layers, highly technical clothes, so that you can accumulate layers without having to necessarily so much space. But we had about, the backpacks that we carried were around 55-60 pounds at a time, and we always had the luggage that we had, the equipment that we had at camp, was maybe 30 pounds. So it's a lot of weight. Every pound counts, and you don't want anything that you don't need.
Now, so people can get a picture of this. As I understand it, the approach, at least that you took up the mountain, this isn't one of those going up a stone face, chiseling handholds and things like that, right? It's a little different than that. Can you describe the ascent?
Yeah, absolutely. So what happens is you have the first couple of days, you're walking through a very long valley, which is full of it's pretty flat, the valley, and you're gaining altitude quite slowly. And the mountains are huge and very colorful on the sides, but you're going all the way through a valley to get to the base of the mountain. Once you get to the base of the mountain, which is at base camp, you then climb up from there. But you have very rocky paths, but it's constantly like you're walking on your 2 feet. With Aconcagua, it's not a technical mountain, which means that you don't need to use ropes or climbing gear, because you're always on your 2 feet. But there are very steep inclines. There's a lot of snow, and you do a lot of zigzagging to help get you from one camp to the other. But you're consistently climbing and with just walking.
And this is still dangerous. I mean, while you were ascending, I think you wrote that you got news of 2 different people dying in the process of climbing the same mountain you were.
Yeah, that we got news on the third day, my third day into the climb, that somebody had passed away, and then also on my last day as well. What happens with Aconcagua is it's a non-technical climb, as I mentioned, where you don't need the ropes and you don't need climbing equipment. However, being a non-technical climb, people with low experience attempt. And I'm not saying that the 2 people who passed away in this case, it's a fault of their own or that they were inexperienced, because sometimes things also can happen. However, in general, what happens with Aconcagua is there's only a 30% success rate of people who are attempting the summit achieving the summit.
Wow.
And that happens because people who don't have the right experience, they aren't equipped to understand the extremities of the weather, of climatic changes, of the altitude and the way that the altitude affects your body. Because, for example, the person that passed away on my third day there, he passed away from a heart attack, which he was just a couple, I think he was around, 1,000 feet from the summit. So, your heart is beating very fast. Your body is under a lot of stress, under a lot of pressure. And you have to know what's the right kind of pace that you can move on so that you're taking your body and you're pushing your body, but not past the limit that you can't come back from. And the second person that passed away is also because of altitude. He developed an edema. So, that happens from too much pressure in your brain or too much pressure in your lungs, which happens because of altitude. So, anyone that wants to climb Aconcagua, you can do it, but you have to train and you have to understand what altitude means. You have to be prepared for being in the sun and then all of a sudden being in a snowstorm and not being able to see or knowing what the route is. And you have to know how to manage, those extreme situations. So it's very important, the planning and the logistics when doing a mountain that's non-technical, but still very extreme in terms of temperature and altitude.
Chelsea, you spent a long time training for this trip, preparing for this ascent, doing it, the exhaustion, the altitude, the cold, the weather. What was it like when you were at the summit, when you finally got there?
Well, I would definitely say I cried the last 15 minutes climbing to the summit. I was very under control the whole climb, very focused on, just 1 foot in front of the other, achieving, breathing, moving forward, not giving up. And then all of a sudden, when I finally saw the summit and I realized that it was going to happen, I had been dreaming and planning this for so long, and there was the moments during the route that were hard and made me question, is this going to happen or not? And so when I saw that summit and I knew it was there, I had so much overwhelming energy that I just started bawling.
And
when you're bawling at 22,800 feet, it's not so easy because you're already struggling with breathing and then you start heaving on top of it. So, you know, I was like, Chelsea, get under control. But when I finally took the last step getting up to, and I stepped on the summit, my body was just such in like machine mode that was one foot in front of the other, breathing, keep going, that all of a sudden when I didn't need to, you know, keep taking more steps, all of a sudden, you know, the energy was just overwhelming, like coming out of, you know, my eyes. And, you know, I screamed and I looked all around. I felt like, you know, a kid in a candy shop, my eyes searching so quickly as if the view was going to vanish right before my eyes, and I couldn't get it all in. It was amazing because I was literally above every mountain. The mountains, there were so many mountains below, and I was above all of them, and I was above the clouds. You know, and I realized, you know, I just felt so humbled and so blessed and so proud. And I think that's a crazy thing about the mountain and how it gives you, you know, such a feeling of being so big and being so awesome. But at the same time, you know, Mother Nature and the world reminds you that you're nothing. And it's so so humbling because I worked so hard to get there. But when you're on the top of the mountain, you realize how big the world is and the mountains are. It's just, it's so inspiring.
It's a great place to leave it. Chelsea, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Chelsea Berg is a Wisconsin native who's been climbing mountains in Chile for the last 5 years. Most recently, she climbed the summit of Aconcagua in Argentina, one of the seven summits. You can find a guide she wrote to climbing Aconcagua and more about her travels at findingthenorth.com.